You are listening to the Legal Community Podcast, hosted by Guy Remond and Dave Zampano, powered by Guider. Guider provides self-service online legal documents supported by your local attorney. Fast, affordable, and in your own time. For more information and resources, please visit guider.legal and enjoy the show.
Welcome, everyone, to the Legal Community Podcast. I'm Lisa Rozier, joined with Guy Remond and Dave Zampano. And today's special guest is Jeffrey Feldberg from Deep Wealth. Jeffrey, welcome to the show.
Hey, everyone. Great to be here. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
Absolutely. Thanks. Glad to have you.
We had the opportunity to speak with Jeff before. And Guy, it's good for you to be back on a podcast with you. You and I have had a few podcasts where we've done individually. But Jeff, we were both on a podcast with you, and we were so intrigued with what you do. We said, you know, we are the Legal Community Podcast, so we have lawyers listening to this. And I think your information and your content is relevant to business owners. And many lawyers forget that they're a business owner because they don't have those courses in law school. And I think one of the things we learned with speaking with you is, how do you maximize your exit strategy? And most lawyers don't even have an exit strategy. So I'd love to get your insights on that. When you think about the lawyers who might be listening, how might they build something that's worthy of an exit strategy? And then what would you do about it to help them maximize that?
Absolutely. Well, listen, again, great to be here, and a nice shout out to you, Guy, as well. It's been a short little while. You know, listen, let's talk about what we don't want to have happen. I'll throw a few stats your way, and then we'll talk about what we do want to have happen, because as I've learned the hard way, you know, if I had a dollar for every failure that I've had, I wouldn't have needed my liquidity event. So what we don't want to have happen, and here are two stats that to me are just eye-openers. Because look, as business owners, I'm going to ask everyone a rhetorical question. How do you do something that you've never done before? How do you master something that you've never done before? And the short answer is you simply can't, unless you become aware and then you have the right advisors, just like lawyers are advisors, you have the right advisors to help you. So here are the stats. Up to 90% of liquidity events fail. And when I use the word liquidity event, it's just a fancy term. It could be for a full exit. Maybe you're taking some chips off the table. Maybe you're going public, whatever the case would be. But liquidity event is one fancy term that we can use to really cover all of those scenarios. So up to 90% of liquidity events fail. And think about that for a moment. And for all the lawyers out there, I want you to think about these deals that you're working on, the time, the effort, the money that goes into it, and then to have a 90% likelihood that you're going to fail. You know, we all would be better off, as I jokingly say, it's no joke, but we could take that time and that money, we could go to our favorite casino, we'll have a lot more fun, we'll be put out of our misery a whole lot sooner, and that would be that. And then the second stat, which is even worse than the first stat, if you're quote-unquote successful in your liquidity event, here's the kicker. Up to 50% to over 100% of the deal value is left in the buyer's pocket. And insult to injury, the business owner, the lawyer in this case, doesn't even know that. So the next time a colleague tells you, hey, Guy and Dave, I hit it out of the park. I had this incredible liquidity event. I got, you know, XYZ. They probably left XYZ plus another XYZ on the table in the buyer's pocket. They didn't really know it. So those are the stats, Dave. So let me quickly circle back, because you asked a terrific question. What can you do to prepare? And very quickly, you know, I said no to a seven-figure offer from a very smart and sophisticated buyer. While running my business full-time, I jumped headfirst into the crazy and wacky world of mergers and acquisitions. And for the next 2 years, really immersed myself to come up with what we now today call the 9-step roadmap. And then 2 years later, different offer, different buyer said yes to a 9-figure offer. And this is where many people say, okay, Jeffrey, what did you do? What was the difference? So here's the answer. You ready for this? It's a confession here. It's boring, but it is what it is. The answer, it's one word: preparation. And as lawyers, you know all about this. When you're prepared, that's where the magic happens. So, Dave, we can go into a lot more detail, but let me stop there, other than to say that preparation is really what makes a difference. And our 9-step roadmap, that's our North Star for any business owner, lawyers or otherwise, who can now leverage this to make sure that they don't get any deal, but they get the absolute best deal for the largest, most significant, absolutely biggest decision, financial decision of a lifetime.
You know, Guy, if you don't mind, I would like to use you on this call as a test case. You had a liquidating event. So Jeffrey's using these terms, liquidating event. So again, for my lawyers in the room, it means you sell your business, you sell your law practice, or it could mean you sell a portion of it to bring in a partner. It could mean you're doing something else. So here's the thing, lawyers, I'm not sure lawyers, when they start their law practice, think about what it's worth when they sell. They're thinking about that it's going to provide them a living. So Guy, I'm going to come back to you and then you can relate it back to Jeffrey to say, I think when you started your business, Cake, you didn't think about when you were selling it. So as we think about this, what would we tell lawyers listening now to think about that they might not otherwise have been thinking about? And I bring that question to both of you, knowing that lawyers are not thinking this way.
Well, I'll give my example and then, you know, Jeffrey's the expert on this and it'd be interesting to hear his comments on this. And actually, I would be really interested to hear what you mean, Jeffrey, actually, by the, you know, preparation. But I'll come back to that in a second. So we ran the business for best part of 9 or 10 years as a lifestyle business. And I think probably there's an awful lot of lawyers that do exactly the same. You know, we were happy to earn some decent money. We were working on interesting projects. We were playing in a larger part than we should have been. You know, we were engaging with bigger clients than the size of our company would maybe traditionally work with. And it was great and it was good fun. We traveled the world doing conferences and demonstrating our expertise as well as doing the actual, you know, the engineering that earns us the money. And then actually what happened was that, and I think this is something lawyers could look at, we went into a niche segment of our sector. So we began to specialize in this technology that, quite frankly, it was a risk. We bet the whole company when we did this, but we did it with our eyes wide open and we moved into this new technology in the hope and having done probably 6 months of research that the technology was the future of computing and was the way that big companies would have to engineer their systems to compete and put them in the best possible place to compete with their competitors. So, you know, we moved into this area and when we did that and then I could see the technology taking off. And we began to partner with some of the people that were responsible for this technology. And we were hiring great people and we were getting inbound calls about this technology, sales calls. We weren't having to chase sales. They were coming into us. We weren't having to use recruiters because people wanted to come and work for us because we were shouting about what we're doing. It was all really exciting. Those were all key indicators as to the fact that we were, you know, really doing something really interesting and shaking the market up a little bit. And
the riches and niches is what I'm hearing. By niches,
it
became more valuable. Your product became more valuable and you became more desired in the marketplace.
Yeah, absolutely. And the next sign that we had was that we started to get some people sniffing around and making pretty derisory offers, but offers all the same. And we'd never had that before. And we hung in there and carried on doing what we're doing. And we actually put a 3-year plan together to sell. And this is a really interesting part of the end. And then I'll hand over to Jeffrey. We actually weren't planning to sell. We put this 3 years plan together. And then one of our existing clients came in and said, we'd be really interested in buying you. And my immediate reaction was, well, we're not for sale. You know, I've got a 3-year plan. I want to build a business bigger. And I want to do, as Jeffrey's just mentioned there, go for the bigger sums. And actually what happened there, naturally that put them on the back foot and me on the front foot, and they had to come in hot. And actually they came in with an offer that if I'd worked another 3 years and built the business to what we thought we could build it to within those 3 years, we may not have achieved the offer they gave us even after that 3 years. So it was the right place, right time, but it was all driven by the niche that we moved into.
And what I'm going to take away from that, and then Jeffrey asked your question about preparation, because it sounds like your 3-year plan was preparation. It sounded like you did some steps. I'm thinking it might be some of Jeffrey's 9 steps he talks about. But really what you did is you increased your value to the consumer, meaning the people you served were the ones that wanted to buy you because they knew the value by the work you did.
Correct. And the final thing I'm going to say just before I hand over to Jeffrey is that in terms of preparation, and this is what I think you mean, but you're going to tell me whether I'm right or wrong on this, Jeffrey. We were aware that in the future we wanted to sell a business. So we were beginning to professionalize everything that we were doing. We were lining all our ducks up. We were hiring the right people. We were having the board meetings. We had agendas. We had minutes. You know, we had strategy meetings. We were doing everything by the book. We documented it. We stored it all in order. It was a really well-run company by the time we'd done all that stuff. So actually, when it came to due diligence, we absolutely flew through it. And we gave the acquirer, they were very, very noble about everything. They didn't try and chip us unnecessarily or anything like that. They didn't put clauses that were unreasonable in the contract. So we actually had a really kind of cool buyer. But we also made it really difficult if someone did want to come in and make an offer and then kind of rescind on that offer and blame it on stuff that we hadn't done right, because we were doing most things right.
So there you go, Jeffrey.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, Kai, you know, I've had, as you said earlier, I've had both of you on the Deep Wealth Semi Business podcast, and you're both modest. And Guy, you're very modest for all the listeners out there. Guy really hit it out of the park and did all the things right. So quickly, let me just give some insights on what the 9 steps are. And, you know, truth be told, each one of these steps could be a podcast episode in and of itself. So I'm going to do my very best here, and hopefully I'm not going to get that proverbial hook off, Jeffrey, at time to end this. Let's see where we can go with this. So of the 9 steps, there's really 3 things that we're always doing every step of the way. We're always looking at the big picture. What's going on in the industry? What are the trends? What should I know about? The next thing that we're always doing, and this is really at the heart of preparation, we're looking to find those hidden skeletons in the closet, our blind spots. That's why they're called skeletons. And the preparation is removing them. And then we're looking to find what we call our hidden Rembrandts in the attic. What's a hidden Rembrandt in the attic, and we want to put that out for public display? Well, maybe your law practice, you know, I bet that you are world-class in 2 to 5 areas, probably even more, but you may not realize it. You're saying, oh, you know what? All these other law practices are doing the same thing that I'm doing. Hey, not really. You're unique in that, but you may not know that, and so you're not broadcasting that to the market. And then the third thing that we're always doing, once we have these insights, we're always launching this to our clients within our practice, to our stakeholders. So if we're doing those 3 things every step of the way, what's left? It's the other 6 steps. And very quickly, what the preparation does is step number 2, and we do this for a reason, is what we call X factors. And X factors are what we deem our strategies or characteristics of your practice that insanely increases the value. Perhaps you have a business model that's just very unique, and you have clients, instead of paying you by the hour, it's guaranteed revenue that's coming in. You have some kind of subscription model. Perhaps you're focusing in such a niche area in what you're doing that you're in what we call a blue ocean versus a red ocean. The red ocean is where all the competitors are duking it out and fighting, but you're in such a specialized area and you're so good at it that no one else is doing that. So we identify what our X factors are. So number 1, we know what they are. And number 2, we can make ourselves even better in those areas. And then the third thing that we're doing, step number 3, it's mastering the art of thinking like a future buyer. Another confession, please don't shoot the messenger on this. As business owners, you know, we're selfish and we're only thinking about ourselves. Oh, how big is that check going to be from the buyer? When can I get this deal done and I can move on to the next chapter of my life? But when we flip it and we understand how a buyer thinks, we can talk like a buyer. We can think like a buyer, and it increases deal certainty. It increases the value in the business. We're getting trust with the buyer as well. And what we do is we tune into the world's favorite radio station. And I know, Guy, you mentioned that just before in what you did. And Dave, you and I offline have spoken about this. It's WII.FM. And for all you listeners out there, that's the What's In It For Me radio station. And we're asking ourselves, what does our future buyer want? What problem am I solving for my future buyer? What kind of pain relief am I giving to my future buyer that I can take that away, that they're only too happy to not only buy my business or invest in my practice, but they're going to pay a premium for that? And I can go on and on with that, but you get the gist. Step number 4, it's due diligence. And as I jokingly say, but it's no joke, if you want to see a grown person cry, you mention due diligence. And I suspect many of
you're talking to lawyers. They understand due diligence.
You took the words out of my mouth. You know, for our audience, you're doing due diligence all the time. And for all you lawyers out there, you know, it's probably like the shoemaker's children. You're helping your clients with diligence. And you know how frustrated you get when a client comes to you and they haven't done any diligence and here, make this deal happen. You're like, well, wait a minute. You have all these issues that are going on. Why'd you do that before you said yes to this? So we're doing an internal audit before we actually ever go to an investment banker or we begin the liquidity event process. And all kinds of amazing things come out of that. Look, if you don't do it, you give up your health, your money, and your time.
Yeah, because the buyers are going to do it. And then they're going to surprise you. If you've done it in advance, you could correct it or you could put a story around it that makes it more credible or more reasonable.
Look, if you don't do it, your buyers are going to do it. They're going to probably use that E word that we banish at Deep Wealth, the earnout. We don't believe in earnouts. So when you do it on your own time, your own convenience with your team, you save your money, your health, and your time. And then quickly, let's go to step number five. It's the winning mindset. How do you immunize yourself against deal fatigue? How do you get all your other advisors? Because don't do this on your own. Lawyers, I know you're smart and I know you're capable, but don't do this on your own. Get a very talented and experienced investment banker. We'll talk about that momentarily. But with a winning mindset, you immunize yourself against deal fatigue. You get everybody on the same page. It's very important. It's where most business owners tend to overlook. Step number six, it's the advisory team. How do you know who to pick? Where do you look? What do you do? And I know all you lawyers out there saying, ah, Jeffrey, come on, I work with these people all the time. Well, maybe. You may know the world's best investment banker, but is it really the best investment banker for you? And we talk all about how do you find the right cultural fit. You don't want to find out in the middle of a liquidity event, I really selected the wrong advisor. You know, now what are you going to do? You don't want to do that. So we have all kinds of questions and scorecards that get you going on that. And then as we wrap things up here, step number seven, it's all about timing and execution. What do you say to who, to when, and to how? And this is where most business owners drop the ball. Because remember, when the wire hits your bank account, the deal's not done. You've made all kinds, and you'll understand this, lawyers, you've made reps and warranties to that future buyer that you have to live up to. Otherwise, there's going to be penalties against you. So you have to transition that business to the buyer in the best possible situation. But if you don't communicate it right, maybe you're going to lose staff. Maybe you're going to lose clients. Who knows what the heck it's going to be? So in timing and execution, we have all these frequently asked questions across all the stakeholders of what do you say, who's going to say that, what you should be doing. And so effectively, and I know it's drinking from a fire hose. We've just blown through that in a few minutes here. But effectively what you're doing, not to confuse simple with simplicity. It's a very simple narrative. Preparation has you find those skeletons and remove them. It has you identify those Rembrandts and put them out for public display. And when you do that, in our nine-step roadmap, it's a 90-day process. It's a 90-day system. You've done two things. Number one, you have created a very specific blueprint for your practice of how you're going to maximize the absolute value. You're going to increase that value. And the second thing that you've done is you stop believing that you're going to get the best deal. And you now know this is the absolute best deal, not any deal. You know, these are the best advisors, not any advisor. So you have the confidence coming out of that when you go through the preparation.
Yeah, I want to just bring this back to the lawyers because, again, what you just gave is, again, I'm assuming at some point you'll give a reference to your podcast, which goes through these in more detail. I want people to be able to do that. But lawyers, I want to give a message to lawyers here. This is really important. If you think your practice is not saleable, my goal in this call with Jeffrey and Guy, everything's saleable. But I think it comes down to having something saleable. I think one of the biggest mistakes lawyers make is they make themselves the brand. And then they come in and then it's all about the lawyer. And then when the lawyer's gone, there's very little value for anyone to buy. So that's where systems and processes we've learned really come in critically important, where your business runs without you. If you could become what we call at Lawyers with Purpose an e-freedom attorney, where you're entrepreneurially free, then you've got something other lawyers are willing to buy because they've proven system that works with or without you. And you're the rainmaker. So all they have to do is replace the rainmaker, which again, if the systems and processes are there, everything is saleable. And I think just stimulating this conversation, if it does nothing else to any lawyer listening, to say, even you have a saleable practice. Guy, I'll give you the closing words and then we'll We'll let Jeffrey wrap it up.
You know, everything that Jeffrey says, it resonates with me. And there's a few businesses I'm involved with, Jeffrey. You know, genuinely, I would love to have a conversation with you at the appropriate time about some of those businesses, because I think the preparation side that you started the conversation with is just so important. And there's certain things that you can do yourself, which is just good practice, quite frankly. But then there's some of the stuff that you talked about in there that where you can maximize your exit value by understanding a little bit more, have a third party look at your business from the outside looking in and looking at it through a buyer's eyes. And, you know, what would a buyer be looking for? And for you to either move some of your business practices so that you kind of cover that, or actually you may well be doing a lot of that stuff already and you're just not making enough of it. And having somebody come in like yourself to look at it, I think would be really valuable.
Well, thank you so much. And, you know, I know we're pretty much bumping up against time here. Two quick things I'm going to say. And, you know, what's wonderful, and believe me, for the listeners, this was not pre-rehearsed or anything, but I know about Guider. You know, I've had them on the podcast. Guider is an X factor for you because you're automating things and you're having systems and processes that are going on. And so if you're not using Guider, stop what you're doing right now. And even before this podcast ends, sign up with Guider, because this is going to give you a competitive edge within the marketplace and just take you to a whole other level. Your future buyer is going to love that because it allows you to scale in ways that you couldn't. It actually allows you to work on the higher billable types of items without having to add staff to that. And that's where your value is going to significantly increase. And then the last thing, and I deliberately save the last for the best, and you're going to love this 9-step roadmap, even for your clients within your practice. In the 9-step roadmap, one of the first advisors that we recommend a business owner brings on board is an M&A lawyer to go through step number 4, the due diligence. And so there's so many benefits with this, but when you're prepared, preparation is the gift that keeps on giving. So I'm going to leave it at that. I mean, I can just go on and on, Dave and Guy, with this, but you've been more than generous with your time with me, and I really appreciate having that opportunity.
Why don't you share your podcast info and contact info if anyone did want to follow up with you individually or listen to some of your own podcasts?
Absolutely, would welcome you. Firstly, my direct contact information, email me, Jeffrey, Jeffrey, at deepwealth.com, deepwealth.com. So Jeffrey at deepwealth.com. And for the podcast, the Deep Wealth Sell My Business podcast, it's podcast.deepwealth.com. And there we are putting episodes out, 2 episodes a week. You'll hear all the things that you really should know, but no one's talking about it. And it gives you the inside track.
Wonderful. Thank you. And for all of our listeners out there, you can always tune into additional episodes to the Legal Community Podcast by visiting guider.legal. Guy, Dave, Jeffrey, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time today. And to our listeners, we'll be talking soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Legal Community Podcast. We'd love to hear from you. Visit us at guider.legal for more information, and please review and share this show. We'll see you next time.